Good morning. Welcome. If you're visiting us today, welcome. If you've been away for a couple of weeks or longer because you've been unwell and you're back today, special welcome to you. I know there's a few people who are joining us again today. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for wearing masks as you are able. Thanks for being a part of us today. You'll see that our renovations are coming along nicely. The foyer is back to something that looks a bit more like a foyer now, rather than screens and bits and pieces of wood lying about the place, so that's good. So we're very close to finishing that off. A bit of an update on our community laundry. Bruce has been working hard. Hey, Bruce, thanks very much. And the washing machines are delivered. There's a bit of plumbing to do and some tidying up, but that should be operational week after next. How about that? So we'll be able to open that up for people to come and wash their clothes. It seems like a simple thing, I know, but if you aren't able to access a laundry, it can make all the difference. A shower, washing clean clothes, it can really help if you're homeless. So we're looking forward to making that available for the community coming up. So today we also welcome Ken Harvey, who will be bringing the word to us today. We're taking a break from our sermon series. We're going to be reflecting upon the Salvation Army's theme of prayer that we've had over the last month, God is seen when we are one. So he'll be speaking on that, on unity, and about having one voice and one mind, connecting with the Holy Spirit and joining with God in his will and his plan. And in that vein, I'd like you to ask you to stand now and read together Psalm 133. Psalm 133 is a short psalm, and there's some strange themes about oil running down, the beard of a guy called Aaron, and priestly robes. But the theme of it is about unity, about being connected, and about connecting with God. So let's read this together this morning. How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, that is where Yahweh has decreed his blessings will be found, the promise of life forevermore. Father God, I thank you that you are seen when we are one. When we are together in one accord, listening to your Spirit, moving in the same direction, welcoming everyone from every direction, we know that you are with us. Lord, I pray that we will be that church. We will be a welcoming church. We will be a church that listens to you. We will be a church that joins together and hears what you have to say with us. Lord, I pray that you will be with us today. Holy Spirit, we invite you to guide us and lead us today. Lord Jesus, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing as we... Oh, no, hang on. You can sit down. So the worship arts team of the Salvation Army in Australia, along with this theme of God is seen when we are one, have produced a spoken word drama, I guess it is, or a presentation. It's a little bit unusual. You might need to focus on it, but the theme, try and keep the theme in mind. The theme is unity. The theme is that God is seen when we are one. Thanks, Gary.
Lord, make us one so that the world will see you.
Kukugarkas, Aran, Kalmel, Munuman, Kedanai, Wabogam, Moonlight, Nagumani.
Jesus, make us one so that the world will see you.
Jesus,
Aran, Kalmel, Munuman.
Holy Spirit, make us one so that the world will see you.
In the beginning, there was the one. For you, together, are one. In the beginning, there was the one. And we were one with you. Until we looked away from your face, made ourselves separate, turning our gaze inward.
Brushed away your extended hand to stand alone, and thus we remain.
In isolation,
not only from you, O Creator, but our sisters and brothers and others became othered, community smothered by the insidiously soft pillow of self.
And thus we remain, strained, pained.
But you said it was not okay.
You would not suffer your children to die alone, save only one.
Your only one, stepped from heaven to stable to cross,
that Babel be reversed by Pentecost, our one tongue that had become too many.
Disjointed, sundered, misunderstood, and scattered,
until you spoke in Gethsemane.
Father, make them one, as you and I are one.
Until you spoke at Calvary.
It is done.
Jesus, make us one. So the world will see you.
Yo en ellos y tú en mí, para que sean consumadamente una cosa.
Jesus, make we one, so that the world will see you.
И да познает мир, что ты послал меня и возлюбил их, как возлюбил меня.
And now, even in the multitude of many voices, true unity is heard once more.
Truth and love in every tongue, in one accord.
Centered by that nexus of surrender, by sacrifice united.
Invited to redemption's table.
Spiraling outward tendrils of welcome
to an embrace of belonging.
We are connected. An alliance of broken pieces cemented, transmuted by love into a kingdom.
Upon this rock, Christ builds us.
Together in one, Christ holds us.
Together in one, Christ shows us the true face of one.
And one.
And one.
This is our prayer.
Entwined by grace, we find our place.
Blended, bonded by the gravity of love.
Reflecting in each and every one
that true face of the one where we belong.
Again, become
together in one.
열방이 하나님을 보게 하소서.
Jesus, make
us one, so that the world will see you.
That's our answer.
We're going to sing together now, How Great Is Our God, because He is the one who makes us one. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we sing these words together.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Say how great is our God. my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Please be seated.
Chapel as well. Prayer house this afternoon at 4. As I announced a couple of Sundays ago, perhaps a new focus, if you are in need of prayer, please come to the prayer house. You don't have to stay, but you can come and ask us to specifically pray for you. And we're going to hear a great story of God answering prayer in a moment in our meeting. God does answer prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. And I will bring my bottle of oil to the prayer house. And anybody who needs anointing with oil, anybody, any need, please turn up at the prayer house. Now, yes, as it's just been highlighted, it's school holidays. Wow. The grandchildren are coming up this week. That's great. But there's no picnic in September. The next one is the 24th of October. The Learning Hub returns on October the 6th. Junior Soldiers resumes on October the 3rd. And the next Youth Zone is October 10th. And we're praying for all of our children a great time on holidays. Men's breakfast. It's a moving feast. Now, but we'll eventually lock in a date. We did change it, and I'm trying to get Paul Murgard to be the guest speaker. Some of you would know Paul. He's the CEO of Destiny Rescue. Paul grew up in the Salvation Army at Bundaberg, which, by the way, happens to be celebrating their 135th anniversary this weekend. That's by the way. But Paul's got a great story. He's a friend of mine. And when I reset the date to the 2nd of October, he tells me it's a long weekend and he'll be away. So I'm just waiting to hear back from him tomorrow. He said he'll let me know and then we can lock it in. Talking about men's conference, which is rescheduled to Saturday the 13th of November. We had about more than 20 men registered when it had to be postponed. So please lock in that new date, Saturday 13th of November, for the men's conference. That's all. It doesn't mean that's all that's happening here at the Salvation Army at Caloundra. A lot is happening, but I just highlight that this morning. Now, I've been invited to share a testimony of God's provision that leads in to the offering this morning. Many of you will know, but probably not all of you, that Jan and I served in Papua New Guinea from 2004 to 2008. And when I thought about that this morning, I thought 17 years ago, this month, September 2004, we went to Papua New Guinea. We weren't given Australian allowances or Australian wages to live on. And the cost of living is high, particularly if you shop at the Western supermarkets. Twice the price of here in Australia. Now, when we would come home from Papua New Guinea, we were allowed to take back 200 kilos. That didn't include me, by the way. 200 kilos of additional goods. So we took back many things, but we took back powdered milk, 25 kilo bags. We took back washing powder. We took back breakfast cereals, which are about three times the price. And we took back Milo,
Do you like Milo? Now, there's a story behind that. We took back Milo because Jan used to make homemade ice cream with carnation milk and Milo in it. And it wasn't for me. All the young men that used to come to our house for Bible and study for worship used to love Mum's Milo ice cream. On a Friday afternoon, I would go to the local village market, and I was the only white man because it wasn't safe. But they got to know me, and some of the villagers who came in to sell their goods, their fruit and vegetables, were Salvationists from local rural villages. I never went to the fish markets. That was worse in terms of safety. But Major Joe knew what I needed in terms of fish. He only said, "Colonel, I want to keep the best parts." When I first asked him if he'd get fish at the markets, I said, "Joe, what's that?" He said, "The eyes and the head." The needs of the people were great. 70% of people in Papua New Guinea are unemployed. The needs of the people were great. We moved across the country, villages every Sunday, travelled for hours on impassable roads, and our hearts were touched. So we would buy a guitar and give it to a young person to use for worship in the village. We would buy a sound system and a generator, because there was no electricity in the village, and present it in a village. We would buy medicine for a sick child. We would pay school fees because kids were kept from school because their parents couldn't pay the school fees. And you know, back then, school fees were the equivalent of $25 Australian a year. But they couldn't afford it, though the kids couldn't go to school, so we paid that. And I said to Jan one day, because she's the financial manager, not controller, no, financial manager of our house. I said to her one day, "Have we got any money? Have we got any money? We're giving so much." And she said, "We've got more than we've ever had." I leave with you a verse this morning from 2 Corinthians 9, 6-8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 9, listen to this, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Well, hello again. We're having a chat in the chapel now. And this week we're going to have a chat with Daniel. Come on up, Daniel. Here's a microphone. There's a seat.
All good.
Now, Daniel says he's a little nervous.
Very nervous.
You've written a few notes. We've had a bit of a chat beforehand.
Yes, we have.
But Daniel's got a great story, and I think you'll be blessed by it. So, Daniel, you live in Caloundra.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about your family that's around you at the moment.
I've got my mum and my stepfather and three sisters, with this nephew. We're all pretty close. My grandfather lives in Redcliffe with my stepmum, so I don't see them very often at all, but that's all right.
Yeah, no worries. Just a little bit higher. There we go. Yeah, the old, have to have the microphone a little bit higher. Now, your journey, your life journey, has involved a few health scares.
Very much so.
A couple of cancer things. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How did it unfold for you?
When I was 9, I was at primary school when I collapsed during assembly, during parade with migraines, head first in concrete, and just had scans all the time, and I couldn't find anything. And then on holiday, Easter holiday, 1992, and I fell off a bike a rocket and straight away.
You're about nine, is that right?
Nine, yeah. Yeah. Nine-year-old boy.
And what did they find?
A tumour in pituitary gland.
A pituitary tumour, yep. Righto. So what, chemotherapy or
radiation and operation.
And an operation, they took it out. Now, fully successful as far as they knew at the time?
At the time they thought so, yes, but it wasn't.
Now, it did affect your growth and a couple of other things. Else, yep. So, but life continued as normal?
Life continued as normal.
Yeah. Did you go to church at that stage at all?
I did at nine. After that, I started going back to church.
Your whole family?
No. Just my mum and I at the time.
Just your mum and you. And how did you find that? How was your connection with God then at that stage?
Not wasn't as good as it is now. I was still young and nervous, so. But just, yeah. Did what I had to do and pray.
You did what you had to do. Now, your whole family moved to New Zealand?
Yep.
In
1999.
So a family issue that brought you over there?
Yeah, my grandma was dying, so we went and looked after her.
Finished school, started working, and then more bad news.
Yeah, 17, coming back to Brisbane to see my real father, and I couldn't read a sign on the wall, the letter, and I had a feeling something was coming back, and it had to regrow, and my eyesight was gone. For 6 months, had to learn how to use Braille.
You lost your eyesight for 6 months.
Yes.
Wow.
Because it pushed on the back of my optic nerves.
So the tumour had grown back on you. Wow.
Yeah.
So more surgery?
More surgery and successful this time.
And as far as I knew, the tumour was gone.
Nothing growing back.
Nothing
since,
back. So. And you've, since then, you've been free of that.
Yeah. 22 years free.
Right. That's great. Great news. But life was a little bit rocky at that stage.
Yeah.
You're an adult now. Yeah, still with your family, had a couple of health scares. What did you get into?
I went in New Zealand, I got a job at Macca's, my first job, and I got into the wrong crowd and started hanging out with, started doing drugs and alcohol, then the gambling as well.
And how long did that continue for?
Until I came back to Australia when I was probably 22.
Right. And when you were back in Australia, you connected with the Salvos at Munya.
Salvos at Munya, yep. Did 8 months at Munya.
Now, what is Munya?
Munya is a 12-step program where you can go and do rehab and do chapel and sort of stuff like that, which is really good. I thought it was very scary at first, but after a certain time, I loved it.
So that was like a rehab type place.
Rehab
and
detox upstairs.
Radio
as well.
And at the end of the 8 months, would you say that you were free of that?
I'm free of drugs and alcohol, yes.
Right. But the gambling?
Gambling got started again in Ipswich after that.
So you came out, you connected at Ipswich, and gambling continued
gambling
to be an issue for you.
Alcohol started again.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Drugs, haven't touched drugs since.
Maybe. Now, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So eventually you made your way up to the Sunshine Coast.
Yep.
And somehow you connected with the Maroochydore Salvos.
Yeah, I lived in Mooloolaba. Got a unit in Mooloolaba and connected with Salvos up there at Maroochydore.
And helped out at the store.
Helped at the store.
The Connect space.
Helped out with people.
And then you moved to Caloundra?
Yes, I did.
And you've been coming along to our community dinners for how long?
I don't know. I've been trying to think about it the other day. I've been in my unit for almost 10 years. So
as long as we've had dinners, you've been at there pretty much. Yeah. So slowly connected with some people here. If you come along to community dinner, you probably know Daniel.
Big family. That's all we like here. Big family.
That's right. You're always welcome to Tuesday night community dinner. It's a great place to connect, meet some people, get some good food. And two courses. There's dessert as well.
Tea, coffee, and cordial.
Yeah, and sometimes, if you're lucky, soft drinks. Anyway.
And soft drinks, yes.
So there, you moved into helping out and coming along to our Connect Space, which is now Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then helping out.
Yeah.
And how did your journey go on from there?
Got better and better. Started going to Just Men and church this year, and I loved it.
So Just Men's a Tuesday night men's group that's on straight after dinner. You've been coming along since this year?
This year, yes.
And then started to come to church this year?
Thanks to Ray and a few other ones for twisting my arm, but it's all right.
Ray twisted your arm.
Ray and a few other ones, other people, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're just just encouraging you
to
make greater connections. Not with us necessarily, although hopefully we're a bit of the pathway towards that, but it's towards God, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
How would you see your relationship with God now?
Very good, very, very good. I was getting migraines for a while, but I haven't had one for almost 3 weeks.
So this is the thing that James was talking about before. So you've had migraines on and off for most of your life.
Yeah.
Some may be related to your earlier health issues, maybe not.
Yeah.
But and you actually asked for prayer on quite a few occasions.
Yes, I did, yes.
But most recently at Just Men, after the session had finished, I think Gary invited, thought that it would be good to pray for you one last time. So a group of guys gathered around,
yep.
And James said, "I've forgotten my oil." So I rushed out to the kitchen and I found some extra virgin.
Extra virgin oil.
And we anointed you with oil, probably a bit too much, a bit like that verse, you know, where the oil was dripping down Aaron's beard down, and onto his robes.
Weeping down my side.
So poor old Daniel got a bit covered in oil on that occasion. Now, there's nothing special about the oil.
No.
There's nothing really special about the people that are there except that they're God's people. And we said that at the time.
Yes, that's right.
But it was God's work in action. And amazingly, I mean, this is a truly answer to prayer. As you said, on and off for as long as you can remember migraines, but for the last 3 weeks?
Last 3 weeks, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Well, that is a real answer to prayer, a real praise point in your life.
Yeah.
Now, I think we've talked about everything that we're going to talk about. Is there anything else you want to share with your friends here today?
So.
No. Very good.
All pretty much done.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad to have you a part of our congregation.
Thank you very much.
Worshipping with us, being part of our community here, sharing the love of Jesus with each other as we do.
Yeah.
And I might just pray for you now as we finish up.
Okay.
Okay. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for Daniel. I thank you for the man that you've made him. I thank you for all his experience and how they've added up. But Lord, I thank you that you have freed him from those things that were part of who he was, those things that bound him, the alcohol, the addictions, the gambling, Lord. I pray that you will continue to keep him free of that. As those temptations rise, Lord, I pray that he will find his strength in you. Lord, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you that Daniel can stand up today and say that he has been migraine-free for weeks, even though that has been part of his life for so many years. Lord, I pray you will continue to heal those parts of Daniel that are not quite whole yet, parts of his life that have been spiritually affected, parts of his life that have been physically affected. Lord, you are the great healer. Lord, I pray you will continue to fill him with your Holy Spirit and help him be the witness that you have planned him to be. Lord, we thank you and praise you today for Daniel and for the power of breakthrough that you have in his life and in our lives. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to thank me? Join me in thanking Daniel this morning. That's right.
Good morning. Great to see you all. It's a great privilege to have the opportunity of just sharing around God's word today. Daniel, thank you for that. That was very powerful. You know, that actually reminded us our own son had surgery for something very similar. So yeah, we can relate to that. We're just taking that break, as Tim said earlier on, from Can I Find a Witness? And we're going to concentrate this week and Cess next week on God is seen when we are one. You know, we live in a world of so much disunity, don't we? I'm not going to talk about that this morning because we live it and breathe it so much. I think of it as in my ministry out there at the courts, of seeing so much disunity and being there and being blessed by God and hearing people say, you know what, when I see you outside the court, I sense a calm. That's God at work. Looking at John chapter 17, or a portion of it this morning, and talking about unity in Christ. So John was called to follow Jesus, Karen, when he was mending a net. And as you said last week, Karen, just that Jesus has called us, he's going to cause us to be fishers of men. Amen? Fishers of men. John mends in this, as we read through the book of John, and if you haven't, I encourage you to do that. I've been looking at the Passion Translation. It's absolutely wonderful. John's message mends the hearts of men and brings healing to the body of Christ through the revelations that he gives to us. So in John's Gospel, we see Jesus and his ministry. And you know what? There are many, many miracles that are recorded. We've got the first miracle, public miracle that Jesus performed was turning water into wine. We go over to John chapter 3, and verse 16, the greatest miracle of all, that Jesus would give his life for us, that we might know, that we might know eternal life. Amen. Beautiful miracle, the most wonderful miracle of all. The healing at Bethesda in chapter 5. The forgiveness of the adulteress, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So John writes to unveil the mystery of Jesus, God in the flesh. We see him as the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. The one who takes away the sin of the world. The shepherd, the good shepherd who provides for our needs, who's providing for our needs right now, who leads us. Where does he lead us? That's right, through still waters. He feeds us. He gives us rest in him. The God, the kind provider and forgiver. I think of the story of the adulteress, that woman caught in adultery and brought before Jesus and standing there in that circle of people, and Jesus asked, well, whoever has not committed any sin, cast the first stone. And that woman stood there and Jesus looked up. Nobody had done anything, and Jesus said those beautiful words to her, you are forgiven, go and sin no more. The tender healer. The man who was disabled for those 38 years. And Jesus came along and healed him. Great stories, aren't they? The living vine. In him we live and have our being, and we are a part of him. We're going to look at the temple of Christ. We're going to be involved at the end of our of the message this morning in an activity, in a commitment together. But we are one in him, the living vine. Now I've just got to read some scriptures to you here. Just bear with me, I've got pieces of paper all over the place here. John tells us why he wrote this amazing book. Jesus went on to do many miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not even recorded in this book. But all that is recorded here is so that you may fully believe that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Son of God, and through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name. So when we come to chapter 17, we find Jesus in a familiar position on his knees and praying to the Father. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to be one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given them, so that they may be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You will live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So Jesus prayed for the unity of his body. He prayed that the world will be convinced that the Father had sent him through the love that we share in him and with each other. So let's look at a couple of definitions of Christian unity. So we see that Christian unity, Jesus prayed for himself. He prayed for his disciples before he left them. for at the as we look at this whole book of John, at the end of John, Jesus has completed his ministry and he goes to be with the Father. So he prays to the Father for the ministry that he's had and the fact that he's going to be back going back to the Father. He prays for his disciples who he's been ministering to, who's been teaching, showing the way, proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God. But he also prays for us. So here are a couple of definitions of Christian unity. The body working together, and I just wrote down here that that's dynamic. It's actually happening now. It's a working, it takes effort. The love that we have and share as Christians. Christian love creates unity in the midst of diversity. We come, each of us, with our own giftings, with our own abilities. And there's a unity in that, unity in our diversity. We don't always see exactly the same, see it the same way, but God takes that diversity of who we are when we give ourselves over to him and uses us in the midst of that diversity, that Christian love creates that unity. Be united with other Christians, said Corrie ten Boom. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks need to be cemented together. That cement is the love of Christ in us that overflows into the lives of others. And unity is possible because Jesus died to bring us back to the one, to be one with the Father. How did he do that? He went to the cross. His sacrifice for you and me. He became sin that you and I might be free from sin as we place our trust and our faith in him. So that Christian unity begins at the cross. That Christian unity must begin in that relationship that you and I have with him before that relationship that you and I have with each other and the world. So we come to him as living building stones, being built up, a spiritual house, a sanctuary. Here, over here we have my granddaughter. You'll see this as if you choose to come forward later on and just be involved in our act of commitment, of recommitment. But my granddaughter, little Esther, has made a temple, the temple of the Old Testament for us there. And as we know in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was seen in the temple of God. Today, who's the temple? We're the temple of God. So we come as living building stones. Just let me get my right spot there. We come as living building stones, being built up in a spiritual house, a sanctuary for God. He lives in us and he shapes us. So I've taken, just to focus on this morning, excuse me, just some elements, it's probably not all of them, but some elements this morning of what Christian unity looks like, what it involves, what it means for you and I as Christians today. What does unity look like? How do we keep that unity? What practical things do we need to do to maintain that unity? So, I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about love. I want to talk about patience, humility, and equality. So, the gift of forgiveness, and I think I'm calling it the gift of forgiveness because Jesus Christ forgave us. I see it as a great gift, and it's a gift that we can give to others and we need to give to others. Unity is made complete when we come together despite our differences. As I said earlier, we don't always agree on things, do we? But as we allow the Holy Spirit to shape us as living stones, the temple of God, that unity starts with us. As a people, as a forgiven people, we are to forgive others. Now, over the last 40 years, I've spent time in about 10 different prisons. No sleepovers. No sleepovers, but in my role as a chaplain, I've visited a lot of jails down in New South Wales and up here in Queensland. I even had the privilege, and I'll call it a privilege, of meeting Ivan Milat down in Goulburn many years ago, and having the privilege of even praying with him. The gift of forgiveness. We're a forgiven people, and we release the same gift of forgiveness into the lives of others. Colossians 3:13 says, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ, a living stone being shaped by God. So these stones, forgiveness, of love, of patience, of unity, and of equality. My thoughts are around God just shaping us to maintain that unity in our lives. Still with me? I hope so. So the next gift is the gift of love. Listen to the words of Jesus. So now I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are truly my true followers. And again in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate the gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially to those who try your patience. Especially to those who try your patience. I've been thinking a lot about patience, and I really get impatient with, not so much with people, but with technology. So don't do anything this morning. But my impatience is shown, just in frustration, because I don't know. That's an area that I need to work, and that's an area I know that God is shaping me in. But in dealing with people, precious people, people that Jesus died for, the people that come into the courts, sometimes so their lives are just so messed up, you know, and your heart goes out to them, and they can be very aggressive. But learning that, and I've learned many lessons about acceptance and about understanding, praise God, through those experiences. Yeah, especially those who may try your patience. Is God shaping you in this area? He's shaping me in this area, and I want to allow him to go on doing that. How do we do that? We support each other and we press into Jesus, allowing him to go on shaping our lives for his glory. So we move on then to the gift of patience. There are times of struggle for all of us in our Christian journey, aren't there? At various times in our faith journey, we slip and we fall. And it's a great thing that we unite together to assist those people, to support those people who perhaps are struggling. Not standing condemning them or asking what's going on, but getting alongside them, alongside each other. And I believe that we have the responsibility to encourage each other to stay close to God, to stand together in a divided world. Listen to the counsel of God's word here from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. So now we must cling tightly to the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. What was that? God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage one another and motivate each other towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of God's love. Times of struggle times are times to stand firm. And I think that is so true in these times of uncertainty in our world. Is God shaping you in this? So let's encourage one another to come closer to God. Then there's the gift of humility, and I see humility as being a pillar of unity. Again, I'm referring a lot to the Word of God today, and so I should. From Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, Jesus showed the way. Be free from pride-filled options, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. That's practical, isn't it? And consider the example of Jesus, the Anointed One. Jesus came, he demonstrated humility. He showed us humility. And he shapes us, he's shaping us. How is he shaping you? I've got up there our General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. When he was called to God, called by God, I should say, and he was walking those streets of London and saw what was happening to others, he made that commitment to God that everything there was of William Booth would be God's. And an outward expression of that was living for others. And that's what you and I do, isn't it? We have the S's on our shirts, on our epaulettes. What do they stand for? We're saved to serve. It's about others. Keep hitting the wrong button there, told you, technology. I've gone the wrong way, beg your pardon. Here we go. God created us as equal regardless of our race or our gender. We're invited to speak with him, to live in him. He sent Jesus that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God and places their faith and trust in him to take away their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness will be saved. As members of his body, the temple of God, we have these representations of the temple here this morning. God created us equal. We live in a world there that is not demonstrated terribly well. But as Christians, we need to stand together and to remember that each of us has been created as equal. And God wants that none might perish because he loves us all. In Christ, there is no division. There is a place for all in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And so there's the temple of God in the Old Testament, and I think of Solomon when the temple was completed and he prayed and the glory of the Lord was seen. And in the New Testament, as we've said earlier on, we are the temple of God. God the Holy Spirit lives in us. Know you not, know you not, you're a temple of the living God. I remember the chorus we used to sing many years ago. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm a temple. So we represent the body of Christ. There's a place for everyone in the body of Christ. And God continues to shape us to become all that he wants us to be. One of my favourite authors is Max Lucado. And he penned these words some time ago, and they're true. That God wants to shape us. He wants us to be shaped by him. It is true that God loves us just the way we are, but too much to leave us that way. He wants us to become just like Jesus. Is that your heart's desire? For that to happen, he continually shapes the life of each one of us as we surrender surrender to his perfect plan for our life. Today, I invite you to commit your life into the safe hands of our loving God. There is room for you in the kingdom, if you don't know, if you're not a part of the kingdom. Jesus Christ died for you. So I invite you to commit your life to him. There is room for you in the kingdom. You can be a part of the body of Christ, part of the temple, the body of Christ. What's God asking of you today, my friends? We don't need to be afraid of that ongoing shaping, and it is an ongoing shaping. That's what sanctification is. That's what living the holy life is, isn't it? That shaping and becoming all that God has called us to be, knowing that that's not only good, it's the best for us. Unity in the body starts with us being united to Christ. If you're not united to him, you're invited to surrender your life into his care and into his direction. You won't regret it. But you might have been on the Christian journey for a long time. Is God reshaping some of these elements in your own life that we've spoken about this morning? That reshaping, perhaps even to re-establish, to strengthen your place, my place, our place in the body of Christ. Whatever God is saying to you, I invite you to come and allow him to continue to shape you as a living stone in his temple. Now this morning, we're going to sing the potter's hand. And I'm going to invite those of you who want to, if you want to come out and to take here, we've got a bigger temple, the one on the left or on my right, on your left, and some bricks. I'm going to invite you to come this morning as you want. Just come when you're ready, and we won't have too many people coming at a time, just so that we are COVID safe. If you want to come just as a symbolic act of commitment or recommitment of your life, or even to take a brick and to name what that brick is. Perhaps it is patience, perhaps it is for greater love, whatever it is, whatever God is saying to you this morning, I invite you just to come to take one of these little bricks and just to place it on the body of Christ. That's symbolic of us being together in him and strengthening who we are in the body of Christ. So there's still time if you want to come out. Music will just keep playing. If you want to symbolically just to reaffirm who you are in Christ in you, you're invited just to come and to take a block. The temple's looking stronger. Please come. If any of the musicians want to come, well, please, you're welcome to come as well. Thank you.
I give my life to the potter's hand.
Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We thank you for your presence throughout our lives. We thank you because you're our God, you're our living God. And for that we've shared together, we would declare that, Jesus, we want you to be seen through us, that you might be glorified through our thoughts, through our words, through our actions, that as we're joined to you, that we too might work with you, walk alongside you, Jesus, to both proclaim and to demonstrate your kingdom. Help us to do that. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you will seal your work here today. We seek to glorify you in our unity and pray that you will go on shaping us to conform to your perfect plan for our lives. Amen.